Radio Maria USA, streaming live from our website at radiomaria.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home telephone at this number,
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi, also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. A practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. We are grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. So we're going to begin, and our prayer is going to be a supplication to our Blessed Mother here on Radio Maria at the School of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing. And it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, it's just a joy to be here and want to welcome all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates. We've been talking about a lot of things over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to introduce Mother Gabriel Murray. Actually, let me do it now because I keep neglecting to do that. Mother Gabriel Murray and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, they're coming to us live from Italy. And let's just check in. Hi, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. How are you?
I don't know. I get like a brain freeze sometimes when I get on. It's thinking too much. You know, I do better when I don't think. People say contrary to that. But no, Mother, you know, we've been talking about the cross. We've been talking about suffering. We had some great sessions on the cross. And, I was thinking about faith and came across a one line in volume 2, December 2nd, 1899. And our Blessed Lord said, quote, "The cross is the beacon of operating faith," end quote. Faith is so important. You know, Mother, faith was introduced to us, reminded to us by our Blessed Lord. In fact, every time there was a healing, our Blessed Lord made sure that he reminded the soul that it's your faith that's healed you. And it's the faith and the trust, of course, that combine really equal hope. And I couldn't think of a greater time to exercise faith and trust and have hope than the time we're in right now. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a great time, you know, for us to practice the faith and hope and trust in God's love and God's mercy. You know, but I think we have to just, you know, reading the Divine Will writings and trying to apply what it says and having faith that what our Lord tells Luis, it really is real. It's really is the truth. Then and doing acts that he asked us to do acts continually. He wanted Luisa to do them continually, acts and rounds in Divine Will. We die to ourselves. And as we die to ourselves, our faith grows, our trust in God grows, our realization of his love for us grows. You know, if we realize how much he loves us, we realize how merciful he is to us. He's a loving, kind God. And I think, you know, in the past with Jansenism and so many other heresies, people felt he was a harsh and just God only, you know, but his justice is his mercy. He only sends his justice when he wants to wake us up so that our souls could be saved. That's his mercy. That's his love. The most important thing is to be in heaven with him for all eternity. Life is short. The body is just something that, you know, we have here on earth in order to get ready for heaven. But this is not our lasting home. This is just a temporary place. And our bodies are like a tent that covers the presence of the Holy Trinity. And so, you know, we have to just realize what God says is true, have faith in that, have hope for what he's going to do with us, what he has for us, planned for us in the future for all eternity, what great glory he's going to give to each one of us as his children. You know, and he loves us so much, he will not deny us anything. I mean, that's what the Divine Will teaches. Everything is given as gift from God. He wants us to take from him everything we want. He doesn't hold back anything. If we just have faith and trust and hope, like you said, you know, I think we have to just pray for the grace for that, you know. But I think if we realize his presence within, we're going to be able to, you know, get that grace to have greater faith, greater hope, greater trust in his mercy. I was just reading here in November 19th, 1926, volume 20. He said, "My daughter, the pains of my divine will are unutterable and inconceivable to the human nature. My will is in all creatures, but it is in the nightmare of a terrible and harrowing agony, because instead of giving it dominion, to let it carry out its life in them, they keep it repressed, giving it no freedom to act, to breathe, to palpitate." So his divine will exists in us, but he wants us to call him into our activities. His divine will is there, but it sounds like from this that although his divine will is within us, giving us, letting us breathe, letting us speak, letting us walk, letting us do all the things we do, he's not doing them in us unless we invite him. So his divine will is keeping us alive. It's keeping us functioning in all these different things we can do. But he says we keep it repressed. We keep it repressed, he says, giving it no freedom to act, to breathe, to palpitate. So when we call him into our activities, we're giving him the freedom to breathe in us, to walk in us, to talk in us. We're giving him the freedom to do all those things. Without his will, we couldn't do all those things. But it's just a matter of realization, realizing that he's there and calling him into each activity that we do. So he goes on further to say, so the human will acts. It breathes freely. It palpitates as it wants, while mine is left there only to serve it, to contribute to their acts, and to remain within their acts, agonizing, suffocated by the rattle of an agony of long centuries. So, you know, if you don't call him into your activities, if you don't ask him to do these things within you, they don't become divine acts. We have to ask him, we have to desire it. It's all about desire. You desire him to breathe in your breathing, he's breathing in your breathing. But you have to have the desire and you have to ask.
I think, Mother, that's how we actually confirm that we do believe this. I think you touched on that so poignantly in the first couple lines that you mentioned. Unless we really truly believe and trust that these are the words of Jesus, then there's no way this can take effect in our lives, because it'll just be, something else, like a novel. It's not novel. If we trust, and there's so many things that God tells us, so many directions he gives us. He actually leads us by the hand. I mean, for example, just this one quote, two lines from volume 14, August 23rd, 1922. He says, quote, "I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it," end quote. If we believe that to be true, if we believe that to be said by Jesus, then we would do like St. Matthew. We would drop everything and follow him. And follow him where? Right back to the divine will, where he's leading us, where his mother's leading us.
Goes on further too to say, "My will reads inside the creatures in the nightmare of an agony so harrowing, and its writhings are the remorses of conscience, the disillusions, the setbacks, the crosses, the tiredness of life, and everything that can bother the poor creature." So because we're not calling him into our activities, we have setbacks, we have crosses, we have disillusions, we get tired in life, and everything bothers us. Everything bothers a poor creature because we're doing human acts. We're not allowing him to do divine acts within us. Because it is right that since they keep a divine will crucified and always in the rattle of agony, the divine will calls them with its breathing, unable to do otherwise because it does not have dominion. Who knows whether entering themselves in seeing the unhappiness that their bad will brings to them, they might give it a little breath and respite from its harrowing agony. So what happens is, because we don't call him into our activities, he sends his justice in order to wake us up, in order for us to realize that we need him and call him into our lives and everything with it that we're doing. You know, so that's what his justice is all about. It's just to wake us up, to let us look at him, to receive all these gifts that he wants to give us, you know. So the suffering comes from that, you know. In many way places, it says that there's great joy in living totally in the divine will. The reason why we don't have that great joy is we're not living totally in his divine will. If I was living totally in his divine will, I'd never have a problem. Now, I have more joy because I'm reading the volumes and I'm doing acts and rounds in divine will. And the more I do acts and rounds in the divine will, the happier I get. I know that makes all the difference. When I forget to do it, when I'm not in tune to that, then I begin to feel down. I begin to have certain problems, struggles, you know. So it is true that is perfect joy when we come to that time. And I think God is preparing us to come to that time when everybody is living totally in his divine will. I think it's right around the corner. I think we have a lot to look forward to and we have a lot to pray for. We've been praying the Our Father all these centuries, calling his will into his divine will into heaven, into earth, on earth like it is in heaven. And so we have to realize that that's what he's preparing us for right now. Get ready for it and open your heart to it and read the writing so that you can, apply all of this in your life. And then it's going to be clear sailing when you have to go through hard times.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus has phases of waking us up too, Mother. You know, he just like we would wake up somebody, he does it subtly in the beginning. And again, he has to do a little more aggressively until someone awakens. And again, many of us have been taught to for many, many years, and we just haven't listened. And again, sometimes he has to shake us. And when he shakes us and shakes the world, then people recognize. Unfortunately, it takes that. And that's why I think when Jesus alluded to Louisa, that these chastisements are a grace to wake up the soul, in essence, to bring the soul back, to make the soul notice him. And you know, you mentioned about ask. That's one of the four components, Mother, that I think sometimes we forget. We have to be in the state of grace. We have to have an upright intention. We have to want this for more than ourselves. We have to have an ardent desire, and we have to ask for the gift. It's really important. He wants us to ask for the gift. I mean, it seems like it's like he would know it already. He does. But asking for it actually, again, proves our fidelity, proves our faith, proves our trust, and proves our hope that we have in him. Sister?
It's just like, you know, a man can love his wife, but if he never says, I love you, she's not sure how he feels. You know, she wants him to say, I love you. He wants her to say, I love you. So Jesus knows. Now he knows that we love him. He knows what we desire, but he wants us to say it. He wants us to tell him, he wants us to tell him over and over again, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what the rounds are all about, putting our I love yous and everything and giving it to him. But he wants us to tell him what we want, even though he knows what we want. He wants us to say it, you know, and to ask and to expect it and to really believe what we're asking for, that he wants to give it to us, if it's according to his will, of course.
To be the voice of all creation. Sister?
I was just thinking, Peter, before, as you were saying when you're talking about the four criteria, I think sometimes a lot of times we think of that and we have those four criteria and then we're tempted to think, okay, so then poof, I'm going to magically be living perfectly in the divine will. And then when we start to see our miseries and our weaknesses and we start to be disturbed by things and upset by things and angered by things. And when we go through our own personal chastisements or purification, we think, well, you know, this divine will thing doesn't work. Like, what's going on? Or I'm doing something wrong. I can't do it. But it's so beautiful because that's part of the process. I love, Peter, you're always calling it a journey. And that's exactly what it is. It's like, it actually means you're on the right track when those things happen, because the Lord takes you at your desire. He takes you at your word. And, right. And he wants to get us living in his will. But like you were saying, Peter, we've learned so much, so many bad habits. We've learned so much junk. We've got a lot of healing that we need. And the Lord is so good and gentle, and he does it little by little. And he shows us himself, and he shows us ourself, which I think is the biggest chastisement. You know, he shows us just, you know, how nothing we are. But at the same time, the more we recognize that nothingness, the more we empty ourselves of all these things that we once thought gave us value and that made us lovable. He takes all of that away. And then he reminds us that what makes us lovable is him, is that we're his children and that he created us. And he fills us with himself, and which is so much better than the other junk that he was filling us with, that maybe gives us, you know, moments of satisfaction, but really doesn't give us lasting happiness. And I just wanted to read a quick passage from October 12th, 1905, volume 6, where Jesus kind of talks about this. He says, my daughter, the knowledge of self empties the soul of herself and fills her with God. Not only this, but in the soul, there are many receptacles, and everything that can be seen in the world takes its place in these receptacles, something more, something less, according to the concept of them that she makes for herself. Now, the soul who knows herself and is filled with God, knowing that she is a nothing, or rather a fragile, rotten and stinking vase, is well wary of letting more filthy rot enter into her interior, which is the things that can be seen in the world. One who had a rotten wound and kept gathering more rot to put it on his wound would be quite crazy. Now, the knowledge of self brings with it the knowledge of the things of the world, and therefore how everything is vanity, fleetingness, goods that are only masked, deceits, inconstancies of creatures. So knowing how things are in themselves, she is well wary of letting them enter into herself. And so all those receptacles remain filled with the virtues of God. So no matter, you know, what life we've lived, what families we've come from, we're all wounded. And I think we all try to take the things of the world to heal those wounds. And God, in his great, great mercy, especially as, you know, we journey in the divine will, he stops allowing us to get satisfaction from those things. Because the more satisfaction we get, the more we put value into the things of the world, which don't bring us lasting happiness, like I was saying before. But he strips of those things so he can fill us with something better, which is himself, which is what we were created to be, filled with God, living in peace and serenity and security as his loving children. So if you feel like you're going through a purification and you're going through a rough time, don't be hard on yourself. You're on the right path.
Well, Jesus says that the crosses are opportunities to exercise our virtues. And without such, we wouldn't grow. So it's all there for us. Sister?
Yes, I was reading volume 14, October 6, 1922. And here Jesus explained about the plane of the human acts changing into the divine acts in the divine will, and how Luisa, she was called as the first one to live in the divine will. Here goes, Luisa said, "My love, Jesus, how is it possible that after so many centuries of life of the church, which put out so many saints, and many of them have astonished heaven and earth with their virtues and with the wonders they performed, they did not operate fully in the divine will, so as to form this plane you are talking about? Were you waiting just for me, the most unable, the most cattivella, the bad little one, an ignorant one, in order to do this? It seems just incredible. And Jesus, listen, my daughter, my wisdom has means and ways which man ignores, such that he is obliged to lower his forehead and adore it in mute silence. And it is not up to him to dictate to me the laws, whom I should choose and the appropriate time, which my goodness disposes. Besides, first I had to form the saints who were to resemble me and copy my humanity in a more perfect way, as much as is possible for them. And this I have already done. Now my goodness wants to go beyond and wants to give in to greater excesses of love. And therefore I want them to enter into my humanity and copy what the souls of my humanity did in the divine will. If the first cooperated with my redemption in order to save souls, to teach the law, to banish sin, being limited within the centuries in which they lived, the second will go beyond, copying what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. They will embrace all centuries, all creatures, and rising above, will put in force the rights of creation which are due to me, and which concerns all creatures, bringing all things to the first origin of creation and to the purpose for which creation was delivered." So Luisa, she was asking the same question that I really wonder also, like, there were so many saints who performed like great miracles and who possessed the great virtues and who reached sanctity with incredible mortification and penances. And still God wanted to give the divine will to Luisa after so many centuries, and he's been waiting for so long, and now is truly the time for that he wants to give it to us. And so Jesus called Luisa as the first, and he manifested the way to live in his will, the effects of it, and the wonders and goods. And so far, before the divine will, there were it was only about the resignation and union of wills, but now God wants to bring us beyond, and he wants to teach us the divine will that's operating in souls and souls in the divine will. And so truly, this is privilege and blessings that we get to know the divine will and get to live in the divine will. And that's why we gotta know the knowledge more by reading the divine will books and Hours of Passion, because the more we know about the values and effects, and the more we're going to receive. Yes.
Okay. And in volume 20, again, November 16th, 1926, it says, "My daughter, the more you abandon yourself in the divine, in the supreme volition, the more you advance along its ways. The more knowledge is you acquire, the more you take possession of the goods that are in the divine will, because in it there is always something to know and to take." So even though we read it time and time again, over and over again, there's always something new, something for you to take, something new for you to learn. So you never stop reading it. You continue all your life after that. When you enter into the divine will, you ask for the gift, you continue to read and you reread and reread, and you're going to learn something new and different each time.
He keeps expanding our capacity, you know, Mother, to accept more, to retain more, and of course to apply more. Got about 1 minute before break. Any quick thoughts before we go to break?
Well, I think you know that we have to just realize how much our Lord suffers when we don't accept His will. When, because he's just a God, a giver. He just wants to give. He loves us so much. He just wants to pour out His heart, pour out all His gifts to us. And it says He agonizes because the creatures do not accept this great gift from Him. And he told Louisa, he says, if we understood what we're doing when we're living in our human will, we would abhor our will. And when if we understood what we were missing out in and not living in His will, our lives would be so different. We would embrace it. We would long for it. We would pray for it, you know. So I think it's just very important for us to meditate on that, to realize how weak we are when we're living in our own human will and how much God has in store for those who want to live in His divine will.
Yeah. Amen. And to get a taste of that through the Holy Eucharist. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the Divine Will. I'm Peter DePalma, along with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. We're talking about faith. We're talking about trust. We're talking about having hope. And we really have to believe that these are the words of Jesus, as He stated in Volume 13, December 5th, 1921. Quote, "The work is already done. There's nothing left except to make it known, so that not only you, but also others may take part in these great blessings," end quote. And what are these great blessings? God is bringing us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by Him. He's taking us back to the other side, finally.
Dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, our Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And again, thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome back everyone to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. Well, we have to work into something very important right now. If you're enjoying this program, as well as all the programs on Radio Maria, then we've got something for you. This is the Mariathon in which we have to solicit assistance because Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. And with that, again, not knowing what you're going to have and when you're going to have it is really relying on divine providence. And our Lord has also graced us with certain gifts, some monetarily, that we are in positions to share. First, I'd like to give two pieces of information, very, very important. To call in your pledge, you would use 1-888-408-0201. Again, to call in your pledge would be 1-888-408-0201. Or you may donate online at radiomaria.us. Again, you may donate online at radiomaria.us. Again, the number 1-888-408-0201. We have a few perks. I know I've referred to them before as other things like bribes, but it's not that. It's a perk. And we have, for anyone donating $75 or more, we have a beautiful portrait of Louisa. Watercolor with a high definition resolution. They actually, the copies look like originals, and they were done by a young lady from Massachusetts who, during the COVID lockdown, discovered she has a artistic talent, and it's absolutely fantastic. So, again, any donation, $75 or above, we will send you out that that portrait. We'd be happy to do that. I'd like to also add one more thing to that. For anybody, during this half hour, for anybody with the largest donation, and again, if there's multiple donations at the same level, it'll be the first one received. I have a pebble. I have a pebble from the cave. We're talking about trust, and then we're talking about doubting, right? This is the opposite of trust. And Doubting Thomas, perfect example to each and every one of us as to there are Doubting Thomases in the world today. Some Catholic, some Christian, some not. I have a pebble from the cave that St. Thomas hid in Chennai, India. It's on St. Thomas Mount. Now, before you say, you shouldn't take any stones from that cave, you're right. There was all kinds of signage that says, do not remove anything. But I had a Catholic driver in India. I was there for over 35 days on business back in 2006. And he says, go ahead, take some pebbles. I said, no, look at the signs. He says, look at the desk. And the desk says, donations received here. So he says, give a donation and take a few pebbles. So I did. And again, this cave is maybe, I'm just trying to explain it. It's about 12 feet by 12 feet. It's maybe 6 feet high. It's very small. And St. Thomas was there for about 30 days. So it's conceivable he touched every inch of that cave. Well, he promised that the waters would never rise to that area of India where St. Thomas Mount is. And I think St. Pope John Paul II gave a talk there as well, gave a speech. And even during the tsunami, the waters did not reach that mount. I gave a pebble to my mother-in-law who lives in the Philippines in a very flood-prone area about 10 years ago. And the truth is that she's had about 6 or 7 devastating floods there, and the water affected the entire town except her house. And that's where one of the pebbles were. So again, I can't promise you're going to be water-free, but we do promise to get you this pebble. And so again, that's for the largest donation in this next 30 minutes. And if there are even amounts, it'll be the first one received that will get you this pebble from St. Thomas Mount, the cave that St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, hid in for about 30 days before being found. And of course, We know his martyrdom after that. So, you know, somebody who's very familiar with divine providence and has experienced this with the immortal Mother Angelica from EW10. Mother Gabriel, could you share a bit? I know you shared before, but we have many new listeners. I mean, the stories about what you experienced are incredible. I think they're uplifting.
Yeah, well, Mother Angelica, it was just a joy to live with her, you know, but I think her great gift to the world was, it was God's gift through her, but to teach about divine providence. Mother built that whole network with no money, and the money came in little by little, gradually, you know. We just, you know, when she first started, she was making programs at a TV studio in Birmingham, and they were going to air a blasphemous movie called The Word. And she went there and she said, are you going to really, she had been making programs every week and sending them to churches. They would show them in the church halls and stuff for people to learn mothers, what mother had to teach them. And she said, are you going to really air that program, that movie, The Word? And they said, yes, we will. She said, well, I'll no longer make programs here anymore. They said, well, where are you going to go? You have no place to go, you know, This is the only place, you know. She said, I'll build my own studio. She got upset. And she came home and she told us what she said. And she said, I can't believe I said that. Well, I had entered on August 15th, 1978. And this was, the day I entered, they were starting to lay the ground for a packing room and a mail room. They were going to have all the computers there for the mailing list and everything. And the printers were there. And, it took 2 months to build it. It was amazing. This big room, it took 2 months. And in October 15th, they were finished. There's a sign there saying August 15th to October 15th. And so we had leftover block. They were doing it with cement block. We had a bunch of leftover block. And so we were going to build a garage with the leftover block. So when Mother came back and she said she was going to build her own studio, and all the sisters said, what about the garage? We'll make the garage the studio. So the garage was just is the size of a garage. That's what it was, you know. And so she started talking to different groups and going to charismatic conferences and things and telling people the story. And so somebody gave her $50,000 of lighting to put in her garage, in the studio she was building. And then she went to a conference down in Florida. And somebody asked the question, when she told them about the $50,000 lighting system that someone gave her, they said, well, Mother, what are you going to do if this thing fails? She said, I'm just going to have the most lit up garage in Birmingham, you know. And so one thing after another happened like that. The little garage studio was too small after some years. They built a much bigger complex, which is there now. People sent money for the equipment, everything. It cost $2.5 million a month to run EWTN. That was when I left in 2009. It probably costs more than that now. They have about 400 employees or more. And they get the money every month to keep it on the air from the little people who give $10, $20, you know, every month. And so that's divine providence. Sometimes we didn't know how we were going to pay the bills, you know, but God would, I don't know if he felt sorry for Mother, what happened, but he would send the money and she would be able to pay the bills, you know. And I think I told the story before, but one man was at the door one time to collect $600,000 for the first dish that she had put up, the television dish out in the back of the monastery, and she didn't have the money to give to him. And so she was kind of hemming and hawing and wondering, what is she going to do? And one of the sisters came and said, Mother, you have a phone call. And she was glad to leave the man and go to the phone. And this man was on the other line. He says, Mother, I want to send you $600,000. How should I send it? And she says, wire it right now, you know. So that happened in Mother's life all the time. Divine providence. She had trust. She trusted in God's providence. She trusted that God had all the money in the world and he could give it to her to do the work that God was calling her to do. You know, so it takes a lot of trust to do what she did. You know, she did it. She stepped out and had faith and ordered things that she didn't have the money for, and it would get paid for. It's amazing. It happened over and over and over again. So when you're doing God's will, this was God's will for her to do this. God will take care of all your needs. You know, he says he takes care of the birds of the air, and, you know, we worry, where are we going to get this? Where are we going to get that? You know, if we trust in God, he will provide everything we need. He will take good care of us. We don't have to worry. And I know he's going to keep a Radio Maria on the air because it's God's will. It's providing wonderful programs for people all over the country. And so I know that he will. I have trust and confidence that God will take care of it. And through each one of you listening, you know, and each one of you who love the programs, you know, it's just a little bit to pay for the enjoyment you get every day from Radio Maria.
Right. No, you're right, Mother. And, you know, and we trust also that everyone out there that can, again, we're not speaking to those. I mean, these are difficult times, but if you can, you know, if you can or not, if you will, please call 1-888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. And again, those incentives, perks, so to speak, for a $75 or more donation, we'll send you a beautiful personal portrait of Louisa, unique. And for the highest donation during this half hour, we're going to send you a rock from the cave from Chennai, India, at the foot of St. Thomas Mount. We're going to get that to you. I can't wait to see what happens. Like I explained about my mother-in-law, again, it kept the floodwaters away, and that's what St. Thomas promised. Again, we're talking about faith today also, and again, we have faith and trust that God has endowed us in whatever he has given us. He's given us, he's graced us with something, whether it be talents, whether it be finances, whether it be prayer life, he's given us something and we're called to use that. Sister Magdalena, what do you think about that story about the flooding in the Philippines? I mean, her house wasn't touched, like six hurricanes hit and everything else in the town was flooded and except for my mother-in-law's house.
I think that's amazing because I know with the Philippines, thousands of, I mean, a lot of islands in there and they're very, it's there in the area within, you know, the Japan, China, to where it's constantly flooded and typhoons. Actually, they call, yeah, typhoons. I think that's what they call it there. It's not hurricanes, typhoons. And so every year there's always flooding and that's really, it just makes people there poor and poorer because they build and they get destroyed, but then that's God's will. But then it's amazing what you shared with us about this miraculous stone pebble that keeps your mother-in-law from the disaster. And I think even if you don't have the pebbles, you know, of course that's a great thing, but prayers, there's always miracles in prayers. There's a lot of situations in the Philippines because the Filipinos are very faithful Catholics. We continue to remain in the faith. So even if we don't get those, we trust in God. That trust is there. And our prayer is always and always in his will, no matter what. Even in the midst of disaster, even in all the sufferings that the Filipinos suffer every year, there's so much grace in those because people can reach out to each other and share their love. In fact, talking about that also, I don't mean to blow my own horn, but when Mother was sharing EWTN, I was thinking about how I love watching EWTN. I really enjoyed it so much to the point where that probably was one of the reasons why I started thinking about my vocation. And before I even realized my vocation, they have this program called The Missionaries of EWTN. And I said, I want to become a nun and join Mother Angelica. But I thought, well, but I don't really want to give up my life right now. What can I do? So I prayed and I decided to become a missionary. And they had me listed on as Paragon Cuevas. But anyway, I donated $5 or $10, whatever I could afford at that time. But Mother said that comes from the little donations. It doesn't have to be big, like, you know, from the little donations to be able to pay the electricity, the little, you know, the maintenance of the program. And I think it's the same thing with Radio Maria. Whatever we can afford to give, we give out of love. You know, when you open up this program, Peter, you talk about the trust and faith. And I was thinking, because coming down when I was meditating today and praying to God, praying to the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to share today? And it fell on volume 2, September 9, 1899. And it talks about faith, hope, and charity. And charity is our love offering for the divine will. And I thought, what a timing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to share this with you a little bit. Faith, hope, and charity, because it's definitely talks about the same thread, the theme that we talk about today. And so it's September 9, 1899, Jesus continues to come, but with a look all new. It seemed that the trunk of a tree was coming out of his blessed heart, which contained three distinct roots. This trunk was learning leaning out of his heart into mine, and coming out of my heart, it formed many beautiful branches, loaded with flowers, with fruits, with pearls and precious stones, shining like most refulgent stars. Now, seeing himself in the shade of this tree, my loving Jesus amused himself completely, more so since many pearls were falling from the tree, which formed a beautiful ornament of his most holy humanity. While he was in this position, he told me, "Dearest daughter of mine, the three roots you see, which this tree contains, are faith, hope, and charity. The fact that you see this trunk coming out of me and entering into your heart means that there is no good that souls possess which does not come from me. Then after faith, hope, and charity, the first development of this trunk is to make known that everything good comes from God, that creatures have nothing of their own but their nothingness, and that this nothingness does nothing but give me the freedom to enter into them and do what I want." I want to pause here because we talk about faith, hope, and charity. And if we have these, it's not coming from us. Jesus tells us it's all coming from me. The roots come from his heart, which he share in our heart. So if we are felt pulled to help, to give love offering, it's not us, it's Jesus in us. And we're only giving him the opportunity to be alive in us, that we are empty vessels. And all the things that we do, our donations, whatever it is, monetary service, just listening to the program and sharing it to other people, that itself is taking care of the work of God. And I continue here. There are other nothings, that is, other souls, who make opposition with their own human will. So, because this knowledge is lacking, the trunk produces neither branches, nor fruits, nor anything else that is good. The branches which this tree contains, with all the apparatus of flowers, fruits, pearls, and precious stones, are all the different virtues that a soul can possess. Now, who has given life to such a beautiful tree? Certainly the roots. This means that faith, hope, and charity embrace everything and contains all virtues, so much so that they are placed there as the basis and the foundation of the tree, and without them, no other virtue can produce. I also understood that the flowers, this is Luisa now telling us, I also understood that the flowers signify the virtues, the fruits, sufferings, the precious stones and pearls, suffering only out of pure love for God. This is why those pearls which were falling formed that beautiful ornament for our Lord. My understanding to this one, Peter, is our sacrifice of giving, because there is no true love without the sacrifice, right? And so when we give, donate for a good cause, it involves sacrifice. And this involves suffering. And Jesus says, if we do this for suffering only out of pure love for God, this is going to be those pearls that falls from the tree, or serving as an ornament for Jesus. I would think if I offer through love only for God alone, through my works, it's going to beautify the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's great, sister. Yeah, we spoke about a saint many months ago, Saint Emily de Valier. She was the founder of the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Apparition. And we're talking about money and about, money sometimes gets a bad rap. Money's not bad, but it depends on what we do with it. And for example, in this case, with St. Emily, she inherited this huge palatial estate, and she was under criticism for it, that she shouldn't have money at the time she was a sister. But what did she do with it? Well, she converted this palatial estate to a convent. And that's where she sprung the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Apparition. And, she's known for saying, quote, "What does it matter who sows or who reaps, provided the harvest is abundant?" And again, some of us can give, some of us can pray, but some of us can give something, whether it be prayer or financial well-being. Again, it's all connected. This is the communion of saints. So again, if you're not in a position financially to help Radio Maria at this time, that's okay. But pray for those who are able to, that they had that epiphany right now and call 1-888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Again, we've got about 5 minutes left, and for $75 donation or greater, we're going to get that beautiful portrait of Luis out. And for the largest donation, the rock from St. Thomas Mount, the cave where St. Thomas basically spent his last 30 days. Back to you, Mother, sisters.
Yes, I was reading this passage also in volume 14, and here Jesus talks about how he really wants his divine will be known and be loved. I find myself in the condition of a poor mother who has held her child in her inside her womb for a long time. And as the time comes to deliver, if she does not, she agonizes, she anguishes, and heedless of her life, at any cost, she wants to give birth. The hours, the days of delay seem like years and centuries to her. She has done and disposed everything. There is nothing left but to deliver it. So I am more than mother. For many centuries, I have hell within me. More than child, all my human acts done in the sanctity of the eternal volition in order to give them to the creature. And as they give themselves, they will raise the human acts of the creature to divine acts and will adorn her with the most beautiful beauties, making her live with the life of my will, giving her the value, the effects, and the goods which my will possesses. Therefore, more than mother, I agonize, I anguish, I burn with desire to deliver this birth from my will. The time has come. There's nothing left but to find one who would receive the first birth so as to continue with our births in our centuries, in other creatures. So he talks about how he anguishes and agonizes more than a mother to give birth and to let the divine will known to us in order to give it to us. And he is not an isolated God, and he wants us together with him. And he just wants to be with us because he loves us so much. And just little or nothing is known about his internal acts, which his humanity did in the divine will. So the more we read about the divine will, we know more about his love for us. And through the Radio Maria, God is carrying out his plan and delivering divine will to give us and making it known to all. So please help God in any means to carry out his will.
Okay, so good. We just encourage everyone to be generous, either with your prayers, your sacrifices, or financial assistance. But to help Radio Maria, it does a lot of good. It converts a lot of souls. It feeds a lot of people spiritually. And so, we really have to think of all the people, too, who are listening. It's so easy to listen to radio while you're in your car. You know, people are very busy these days, but a lot of people spend a lot of time in the car. And so a lot of people are listening to Radio Maria. So I encourage you to be generous, to give what you can. And if you can't give anything, or even if you can give and also pray and sacrifice, okay, for the cause.
Mm-hmm. St. James says, Saint James says, "Faith without works is dead." Right.
Yeah.
So
okay, right. That's right. And the love of God is service to the poor. That was Saint Emily also. You know, Saint Emily actually echoed also, Mother, what you said about earlier about, you know, it's not really the size of the donation. If many people give a little bit, everything is met. Saint Emily also said, "God's will is manifested to us by ordinary circumstances." So God's will comes through the $5 to $10 to $20. It doesn't have to be $600,000 like at EWTM, but those will occur also. So whatever it is, whatever you can do, please. And we can all do something. Again, it may not be financial, but we can always pray for those who can help financially to help to an extent that is comfortable for them, of course. And again, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. And, you know, I don't want to say this, but you know, a lot of times, We in life, I've made some mistakes and I appreciate things to the utmost once I've lost them. So we don't ever want to run the risk or of losing something and then regretting we could have done something. you know, I know hindsight's 2020, but we know that now. We've all experienced that. So we do what we can today. We don't worry about tomorrow. We don't fret about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But again, what does it matter who sows or who reaps, provided the harvest is abundant? So we're going to end with prayer for everyone suffering today and tomorrow, and for Radio Maria's success during this radiothon, so that they may stay on the air and encouraging the lives of millions. So we're going to begin with our prayer. And this is that beautiful prayer that we don't know the author of, but we're going to use it again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person, every being be blessed with divine love and kindness. Let the entire earth, every person, and every being be blessed with divine sweetness, divine joy, with warmness, caringness, and tenderness. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person, and every being be blessed with inner healing, inner beauty, divine bliss, and divine oneness. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few minutes left. 1-888-408-0201. RadioMaria.us. A highest donation and 75 or more, you get the portrait or the stone. Love everyone. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God.